Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about how we apply the principle of divine science to the practice of Kriya Yoga. In this show, we will discuss the function of the physical body as a mirror of the inner workings of the carnal mind. Listen as we explain the importance of how we think is what we become and the function of divine mind in correcting human conjecture. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the wisdom of divine mind. So, Swami, I see the title of today's show is Demonstrate a More Perfect Sense of Body. And I just want to ask you, why did we decide to use this title today? What was the motivation behind that?
Well, I think it came to us after Sunday's Asana class. And we were talking about working with the body and that the body is just a reflection of what we are holding in our human mind. It's our thought made visible. The value of it is that it's giving us clues as to how we're thinking.
Well, the first thing we said we were going to talk about is how we apply the principle of divine science to the practice of Kriya Yoga. But first of all, could you just explain to maybe our first-time listeners what the principle of divine science is first?
Yeah, the principle of divine science is that God is all, that there is but one life in this universe, which, in my opinion, dovetails with the yoga philosophy of Kriya Yoga, which says that spirit is cause. And when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Well, let's talk about how we now apply that principle to the practice of Kriya Yoga. And we know that we have 8 essential stages of Kriya Yoga. So how would we apply that to these stages?
Well, your first stage of yoga is yama. And the yamas are non-injury, non-lying, non-stealing, non-greed, non-sensuality. And the last one there, which is non-sensuality, the Sanskrit word for that is brahmacharya, which means carrier of Brahman. So yoga really begins with this union with the divine. And basically what we're starting to understand is that the principle of divine science really begins with love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so what we discovered is that these are just different ways of saying the same thing, that in order for us to have this connection with the divine, that there is a certain degree of physics that's involved, that in order for one of us to love God, we must feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred, that it is not just a phrase that rolls off of your tongue and you say, I love God. And Kriya Yoga is union with the divine means that we must internalize this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as our symbol for validation. It's what we go to feel that sense of well-being. There's a lot that must be in place in order for all of this to happen, and that's why there are 8 essential stages of yoga. Your second stage is niyama, and your first niyama is purification, purging yourself of all your unnecessary dependencies, because most of us come into this lifetime and we are attracted to what is visible and tangible. We have a belief in matter. And so we're looking for mother, basically. And we're using mother to validate ourselves. Well, yoga begins when you are starting to use what is invisible and intangible to validate yourself. And whether we understand this or not, that this concept of God is really the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence that we need to love with our heart, our soul, and all of our strength and our mind. The more that you start to work with this and you start to see that most of these scriptures, they're all saying the same thing. It's just, we really need to know what it looks like when you're actually doing it. The reason why I think we're working with the principles of divine science is because of the work that Mary Baker Eddy did, because she puts healing on the table. Now you have a litmus test. Rather than just trying to stay with belief and human thought and trying to work with changing finite bad to finite good, we're trying to achieve this concept of enlightenment or freedom.
So what about stage 3 and 4?
Yeah, well, stage 3 is asana, posture. Because your body is your thought made visible, the shape, the composition, the condition of the body, how the segments of your body line up, the range of motion you have at the articulations, these are all clues as to how am I thinking. And if I am thinking mortally with a human mind, if I'm thinking with my 5 senses, I'm working with belief, and part of that belief is that I have a belief in 2 powers. But I don't have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But if I can acknowledge spirit as cause, spirit is the absolute. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said, to think with God as God, that we need to rise above corporeal sense, and then we have to understand that if there is but one life, there must be just one mind, and I am made in the image and likeness of this one divine life. So coming back to asana, posture, because we're also working with these modes of mortal thought and divine mind.
Well, let's talk more about the asana. I know when you were cueing us in the asana class this week, you do give us some information throughout the class, and I'm wondering maybe if you could maybe let our listeners know about some of the things that you say to us as we're in our postures.
Well, we start out, first of all, with a breathing visualization exercise, because what we really want to do is we want to calm the physical body by giving it what it thinks it needs. And then at the same time, we want to begin to instruct our minds, because the next order of business is we want to shift our identity from material to mental to spiritual. We want to assume spiritual identity. In order to have this union with the divine, you must know that you are the reflection of an indestructible principle. Because without that principle, you don't have any power other than you're working with belief. And belief is okay, but it's not the same as when you're working with the self-existent power of spirit. And then, of course, we want to forsake all of these modes of mortal thinking. We want to get out of the belief in 2 powers, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our 5 senses. And then the last part that we work with is the relationship between your rate of thought and your rate of breath. That by controlling your rate of breathing, you can control your rate of thinking. Then we begin in mountain pose, but we're starting to work with the appearance of our physical body. The body isn't a goal at all here. That consciousness is your goal. And the whole intention here is to come out of the misconception that you are a mortal creature and come into the truth of your being is that you are an eternal spiritual being. And by accepting that, that's what gives you this principle. It's just like the gold that is backing the money that you are spending, that without it, it's just paper. And so as we start to work this relationship between our physical body, how we're thinking, and the divine idea, we have to know that the one divine life is functioning right here, right now, and its creation is perfect. And again, when spirit is cause, creation is going to reveal the qualities of spirit, which is perfection. As we're going through this class, if you're noticing pain, discomfort, instability, lack, or limitation of any kind, you immediately have to understand that you have a belief in something other than this one divine life. And so it gives you the opportunity to start to change how you're thinking.
I remember you were cueing us. You were saying, let the divine mind change your posture, change your body, or change your whatever your discomfort might be.
Right, because what we are trying to do is make our mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind. We create that silence, that stillness that will invite divine mind into your consciousness. But in order to do that, we have to forsake the modes of mortal thought. We have to come out of Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius, the lower mind, the mid mind, and what was referred to as the higher mind, so we can allow divine mind to govern our body.
Now, is this what we mean? Like in the opening, we said we were going to discuss the function of the physical body as a mirror of the inner workings of the carnal mind. This is what you're saying, that when we're in that mortal mind, that's our carnal mind, and we have to access the other minds to make these changes in appearance.
Well, ideally, what we want to do is we want to let divine mind take over. That you can do this with human will and by working with positive thought and belief. But all you're going to do is change finite bad to finite good, which will eventually come back to finite bad. We have to rise above corporeal sense. And then we must let divine mind correct our thought, which will eventually correct what is appearing in our five senses.
So, I mean, this was reminding me of the theory class we had last Thursday, which we did via Zoom, and that really gave us a good topic of conversation for the evening. I was wondering if maybe you could go over that with us.
Like I said before, when you're examining your body, if you find pain, discomfort, instability, lack, limitation, the thing that we have to understand is that your thought about this divine mind is what you're experiencing. And the more you believe in that, then the more difficult it is for you to correct that thought. But if you start to let go of your belief that you are a physical body, if you start to let go of the belief in matter and you replace it with the truth that you are an eternal spiritual being. Now, a lot of times we think we're doing this, but just like it says in the Yoga Sutras, avidya is mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We can let go of the belief in matter, but then we get tangled up in the modes of mortal thought, that whether it's Gemini, instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, or it's Virgo, in human intelligence, our ability to form thoughts and opinions, or it's Sagittarius, the collective consciousness, world mind, world thought, that oftentimes you've left what was visible and tangible, but you're tangled up in what is invisible but tangible. And so we have to continue to work and make our mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind, which is invisible and intangible.
Well, I think we want to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get back to people who might have, you know, a body part that might be giving them some challenges, or myself when I have to wear readers to be able to see the computer screen. So what would you say to somebody like myself or somebody who has a body part that they've been working on and still having those struggles?
Yeah, well, I really think that that's what we're all working towards right now, is being able to connect the dots where your physical appearance, how you're thinking, and the divine idea become one and the same, where you find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea. And if we don't have that, the most important thing is to understand that the breakdown doesn't come from the divine idea. You must understand the truth, the principle. Spirit is cause, and when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. If we are still working with the limitations of human thought, mortal mind, we're dealing with the corruption that comes with that, which appears as symptoms or conditions or whatever it is that doesn't have this divine quality, then you just want to focus on changing how you're thinking.
How do we use Christian Science? What about Christian Science's view of the body?
Well, Christian Science does not take away our body, but it gives us a divine sense of body. It restores to us our heritage of divine embodiment, the same sense of body Jesus had, that we now understand ourselves to be spiritual. And in our shifting awareness from material to mental to spiritual is basically what I think we were always trying to do with Kriya Yoga, but the difference is that in Christian Science, they put healing on the table. They really say that if you cannot heal yourself, then you don't understand yourself spiritually. The unfortunate thing I find is that there isn't a lot of leadership out there, so you really have to try and learn this from a book if you don't have somebody who can lift you into this divine awareness.
Let's continue on and talk about, well, how do we deal with this misconception of our bodies? Because if we're not thinking right, then that's going to have an outcome as to what our outside appearance is. So how do we get past that?
Well, I kind of like what Bicknell Young said in that work we talked about last week, The Body. It is because we deal with the misconception of our present body, we deal with the figures or symbols as though they are body and fail to consider the true character of body, the embodiment of divine ideas. We fail to demonstrate a more perfect sense of body because we do not understand body as body really is. And again, because of our socialization, our emphasis on the belief in matter, it makes it a little bit more challenging for us to believe that what is invisible and intangible is the only reality, it's the only power in this universe.
So Swami, I was wondering if you could talk to us about the stage four of Kriya Yoga.
Yes, stage four is what's called pranayama, control of prana. That's an important stage that we oftentimes think it means control of breath, but it really means control of thought. The more that we understand the relationship between our rate of breath and our rate of thought, we can start to control our rate of thought. But what it doesn't address is the content of our thought. That's where I think, again, Christian Science can really help us graduate from working with the lower mind, the mid mind, and what was referred to as the higher mind, and graduating to divine mind, to being able to think in terms of the absolute and getting out of duality, getting out of the divided consciousness that originates from a belief in two powers. The more that you start to practice what it is that we're talking about, and you practice it with a belief in one power, one life, one universal eternal life, the changeless state of being that doesn't report in your five senses. Because the next stage in yoga is pratyahara, the fifth stage, which is sense withdrawal. And we really have to rise above corporeal sense in order to really experience this union with the divine, because you can't do it on a sense level of existence.
Well, you're talking about thought. So where would we have to be to have this pure thought, which would be divine thought?
Well, yeah, everything that exists is pure thought, the thought of God or mind. The materiality that we think we see is entirely in us, is entirely in the observer. And it's really our thought about this pure consciousness, this divine creation, which is absolutely perfect, right here, right now. But in order for us to experience it, again, I come back to what the Bible says, repent, which means think differently. But we have to think not with our five senses, but we have to think with soul sense, our spiritual senses. And you learn a whole different mode of thinking because you're moving from the rational into the absolute.
Well, you were talking earlier about our belief in the body and what it is and what it isn't. We have to understand that we are more than what we think we are. So can you talk more about that?
Yeah. And again, I'm going to refer to Bicknell Young. Another misconception that we are to dispel from our consciousness through metaphysical work is that our present body evolves and manifests disease. Our so-called material body, the figure or symbol, is a state of belief only. Body, the embodiment of ideas, does not form disease.
Now, is that word ideas? He's talking about divine idea.
Right. I really like the fact that Mary Baker Eddy does make a very big distinction between thoughts, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our five senses, and ideas which are in the realms of the absolute. I think a major difference between mortal mind thinking and divine idea is that mortal mind is rational, objective, a divided consciousness, and functions on a belief in two powers. It's human conjecture, because everything is in half, so we're always working with limited or incomplete information. Divine mind is absolute, it's subjective, the unified state, and it functions on the self-existent one power of this universe. So they're very different. And for the most part, we don't know what it looks like when divine mind takes over the scientific government of your body.
Well, I have another question. So we were talking about the stages of yoga, and I know that we talk a lot about the chakra system. We also use that in our practice. There must be a correlation with the chakra system in what we're talking about here with the body.
Yeah, I think the chakra system is a diagram for the workings of the mortal mind and the interactions of the opposite forces. Also, working with Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, because Ida, which is the path of descending prana, governs everything that's visible and tangible. Pingala, which is ascending prana, governs everything that's invisible but tangible. So we've got matter and mind working there, and that whole relationship, because matter, what is appearing in our five senses, is nothing more than our thought made visible. We also have Sushumna, which is representation for divine mind, for the spirit within.
So you mentioned that we have the divine mind that is within. What do we need to do to make that become aware to us?
That's the Christ. The Christ makes the word of divine mind intelligible to human consciousness. And I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in a work that she called The Body. Thinking with God as God shows me the perfection of the body. But the body is just as perfect before I know it as after. Human thought really has no effect on divine idea. Paul Stark Seeley says that the connection is found in the thought unity between divine mind and the real man. And the real man is our spiritual identity, the impersonal spiritual sense of self that is the origins of each and every one of us.
It kind of sounds like you've touched upon the last stages of yoga without us actually going into them, stages of 6, 7, and 8.
Right, which is dharana, concentration, dhyana, which is meditation. Now, once you get to pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and then eventually samadhi, everything is basically the same practice, but everything will be experienced at a different level of consciousness, a different degree of awareness. The process of where we are going from personal and objective to eventually personal and more mental, and then eventually we become impersonal, spiritual, and subjective. That samadhi is that point of simultaneous observation where you see yourself not only as separate, but at the same time as universal. Principle and idea are one and the same.
Well, we do have to start closing down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab, if you click that, and then online classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. And so, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the wisdom of divine mind. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.